All right, I'd like to welcome you. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and you're hearing me because this is Sunday evening. And what we're about to embark upon is a three-hour edition of All Things Reconsidered, and it's 1 minute past the top of the hour, and I'm going to tell you, I'm really glad to be back with you this week, and we're going to do a three-hour extrava All Things Ganda or something like that. Anyway, I'm making up words as I go along. I made up a new word this weekend, too, by the way, and that word was betterly. I don't know if you've ever heard of the word betterly, but I made one up. So, anyway, glad to have you with us. My name is Bruce Birch. This is All Things Reconsidered. If you are on this stream, you are hearing this show. And what we do on All Things Reconsidered is we cover a number of different stories. We have commentary. We have various topics that we talk about each week. Some shows have been themed. Some have not been themed. And you know, we've done our best to try to keep this as topical and fresh as possible. So what we're going to be talking about this week, actually, is a number of different things, but not the least of which is the fact that I just got back from a trip to Macon, Georgia, of all places. I went down there for the weekend for a conference that I'm involved with this organization, and they had a conference, a service-related conference this weekend. And so I was down in Macon, Georgia, of all places, and it was like 71 degrees in Macon, Georgia. Got in there Friday, and it was sunny and 71, and you know, and I felt like it was springtime, you know. But it was a really great conference, and one neat thing that happened over the weekend was that. At lunchtime on Saturday, this friend of mine who was at this conference, he pulls me aside and he says to me, Bruce, he goes, you got to come and, you know, do you like soul food? Now, for those of you who live in the north or northwest or northeast, you may already know this, okay? But down here in the south, soul food is like a southern delicacy. It's like one of those things that that is very unique to some of the smaller southern towns and some of the smaller southern cities, and I'm sure to Atlanta as well. But he pulls me aside and he says, you know, do you like soul food? And I'm like, heck yeah, man, you know, you know, yeah, I love it. And he goes, well, I'm going to take you to this diner. Okay, so we went to this diner, and this place is called the H&H Diner. I think it's either diner or cafeteria, but it's not a cafeteria, so it must have been a diner. Anyway, H&H Diner, it's on the corner of New Street and Mulberry, I believe, in Macon, Georgia, right beside the hospital over there. Walked in the door, and there's this wonderful, smaller African-American lady, probably in her 70s, named Mama Louise, who is behind the counter. You know, and they're back there, you know, she and it looked like her mother, you know what I'm saying? Lady was like maybe 80, doing the dishes, washing these huge pots and pans and stuff, and I'm sure it was a family business. So we walked in and sat down, and I noticed on the walls there were all of these pictures, right? So I was checking out all these pictures, and these pictures on the walls were all of the Allman Brothers Band. So I turn to my friend and I say, well, you know, that's kind of cool that they really like the Allman Brothers Band. And he says, well, now, see, just as a preface, the Allman Brothers Band was founded in Macon, Georgia. So there's the background. Dwayne Allman was actually killed in Macon, Georgia in a motorcycle accident. Anyway, so I see all these pictures and stuff. And, you know, and I asked my friend about it. And he said, yeah, this was their favorite place to come eat when they were in town in Macon, Georgia. So I felt kind of, you know, I don't know, kind of privileged that I sort of was able to experience the H&H Diner in Macon, Georgia, because it seems to be a southern delicacy and a southern delight. And as we're sitting there, you know, people were coming in who were wearing, you know, the Allman Brothers regalia and, you know, coming in and looking around and you know, I guess performing a pilgrimage, I guess, is the best way to put it, because some of them were from out of town, and it's kind of interesting. But that was my highlight of Saturday. Besides being in this service conference all weekend where I got to learn about a lot of stuff. I'm not going to go into a lot of that right now because that's not really relevant to what we're doing on the air. But I wanted to share that just because if you're ever in Macon, Georgia, please do go check out the H&H cafeteria or diner. It's just an amazing thing. Now, the funny thing was, as I'm walking out of the cafeteria, my phone rang. And so I answered the phone, and it was a friend. And so I walked outside to use the telephone, and I walked up the street about half a block. And right there's a storefront. And I looked down at the tiles going into the store. And the tiles, in the tiles that were old, I mean, they were like, you know, probably maybe from back in the 30s, 40s maybe earlier. Little small square tiles that you see in older bathrooms a lot. But inlaid in the tiles were little swastikas. You know, I saw that and I didn't know really what to think about it. Besides, I was like, whoa, okay, that's strange. But anyway, so that was a wonderful weekend. I just got back into town. It's not an hour ago, not even an hour ago. So I'm not going to say I'm unprepared for the show, because I'm really not unprepared, but because I've done enough of these that I can pretty much go right on the air and do some stuff. But suffice it to say that I just walked through the door and have been, you know, basically driving for the last, well, 9 hours. Anyway, tonight we're going to do a lot of different things. We're going to take some phone calls. We're going to talk about some of the top stories in the week, in the news this week. The Bush administration is going on the offensive over this whole spying thing that, you know, they're trying to turn the tables on that. The State of the Union address is coming up. Things are beginning to heat back up in Washington. So we're gonna take a look at that. Also, just as a reminder, it's now 7 minutes after the hour. Just as a reminder, if you want to talk with us, you want to chat while we're doing the show, please do come to the Tom Hartman chat room, and that's at tomhartman.com. Okay, tomhartman.com. That's TOMHARTMANN.com. So, you know, do come there, chat with us. The other thing, too, is that this show is archived by WhiteRoseSociety.org. Ben Birch over there, B-E-N Birch, no relation to me, though I guess we might be distant cousins, who the hell knows. He is the purveyor of that site, and there's over, you know, right on the front page of the site, says over 5 million hours of liberal progressive talk served from that website. And my friend Joni in the Tom Hartman chat room says that in order to listen to all of that, you would have to have been born in 1420-something. I think it was 1426, I think it was what she told me. So, you know, there's no way you could all possibly listen to it all, but I do recommend that you do listen to all of the All Things Reconsidered that is on there. shameless plug. Peter Werby is not going to be on the air tonight, so we are going to run from now until 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So stick with us. If you would like to, we're going to very quickly take a quick break, and we will be. Let's see if I can you know, here again. I gotta get back into doing this. But we're gonna take a very quick break, and after that quick break, we'll be right back. My name is Bruce Birch, and you are listening to All Things Reconsidered.
This is Sansara Taylor. The world can't wait. Drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush will give his State of the Union address. But we already know that the state of this union is a state of emergency. The Bush regime is out to remake the world. Endless war, an Orwellian police state, religious tyranny, no dissent, no critical thought, no right to abortion, a ruined planet. This regime is immoral, it's unjust, and it's indictably criminal. We must stop it. On Tuesday, January 31st, when Bush gives his State of the Union address, protest across the country demand Bush step down. The next Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C. to bring our demand right to the White House. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush must step down. Find us today, worldcan'twait.org, 866-973-4463.
He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember it. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts. The issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. Head on radio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
This is Bruce Birch back with you for All Things Reconsidered, and I'd like to welcome you back to the show. We just took a really quick break there because I needed to take care of a couple of housekeeping items that needed to be dealt with. I'd like to, you know, point you again back to Ben Birch of White Rose Society. He does a great, great job there too. So please do go check him out, and if you have an extra buck or two or ten or 20, send them to him, because doing what he does costs a lot of money. Okay, we're going to go right into a story here, and this is we heard a promo during the last break that was Sansara Taylor of World Can't Wait. Now Sansara has been on this program a number of times, and she has we've interviewed her. She is one of the co-initiators of World Can't Wait, which is a movement that is focused on driving Bush from power, driving the Bush regime out of the White House. We plan to have hopefully some interviews with her in the very near future, perhaps next week before the State of the Union event. But we'll see what we can do with that. But one of the things that has come up now, I'm involved in a local World Can't Wait group myself, and one of the things that's come up has been, you know, this whole situation surrounding the State of the Union address, and the fact that, you know, President Bush's last year was crap. it was bad. You know, I mean, the man just, I mean, you know, whatever he could botch up, he really botched up. And and I'm laughing about it just because, you know, I mean, he couldn't have done any worse. I mean, you know, I guess he could have. Let me take that back. He could have done much worse. But he did a darn good job of at doing pretty badly. What he plans to do for the State of the Union address is he plans to turn the tide. He plans to turn around his flagging presidency, and he plans to try to create momentum to carry him through the next 3 years. And this speech that's going to be this coming the 31st is really, you know, the speech that that is, you know, like I said, the speech that he hopes will turn his presidency around, you know. Now, I am one of those people that when I watch him speak on television, I cringe. It's hard for me to take because he's such the moron. I mean, the man cannot talk. I mean, he cannot, I mean, you know, and I know people who live in the Northwest who say that I can't talk. Bush is even much, much more worse than I am. Oh, I'm sorry. I was corrected. If you listen to all of Ben Burch's stuff, you would have to have been born in 1452 instead of 1426. So, just as an aside. But let's get back to the Bush story. Apparently, this past Saturday or yesterday, President Bush previewed three domestic themes of his upcoming State of the Union address: tax cuts, energy prices, and the rising cost of health care, which, of course, he will tie into tort reform. You know, I think the deal is that he has just completely given up on winning over the populace. I think he's given up on any hope of ever achieving any kind of bipartisan support for anything that he does, because what he's based on those three themes: tax cuts, energy prices, and the rising cost of health care. What I'm thinking is that he is using this speech as a way to energize his base, as a way to energize those moderate to right leaning voters that all they need to do, basically a feather, and they fall over onto the right side. So let me just read you part of this, because I think it's important to hear this. Bush, this is out of Yahoo News, and it's the title is Bush Previews His State of the Union Themes. The author is Deb Reichman. No doubt, it's actually Reichman. Anyway, Associated Press. Excuse me. Bush took partial credit for recent gains in the U.S. economy and urged Congress to make tax cuts permanent, a move that he said would specifically help small businesses, because most small businesses pay taxes at individual income tax rates. Yeah, that's probably a true statement. A lot of small businesses. Now, I used to be a small business owner. Okay, I was before I got into radio, I was an electrical contractor. A few years ago, I had an electrical contracting business for about 5 years, and it didn't do too bad. Made fairly good money. I also was able to do a lot of volunteerism using that trade, because I was associated with a local Habitat for Humanity, and I wired probably, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 houses for them pro bono, just because I believe in what they were doing here locally. Anyway, I don't know that I agree with everything they do everywhere else, but locally they were a fine organization and I helped them out. But I was a small business, and I was not incorporated. So I basically pay taxes on my business as a sole proprietorship, okay, which is a designation. Now, this was under Bill Clinton, okay. This was under the last, probably, let's see, from about 96 through 2001, okay. Now, under Bill Clinton, there were already so many tax cuts that I could take, because I ran my business out of my home, because I was able to write off a lot of business expenses. I mean, things like telephone, blah, 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 as long as it was used only for the office and that kind of thing. And I was able to actually write off part of my mortgage because of the square footage of the office that was inside of my home as a business expense. So there is an incredible amount of tax relief or tax reductions, I should say, out there that helped a lot. I mean, after I did all the tax deductions, I barely made a profit, and yet I did well. So, there is the line item, and then there's the tax items, and I wonder, just how much these tax cuts that he's talking about are actually strengthening the economy. Because see, what I've watched happen with these tax cuts that he's been talking about is that they really don't target as much of the middle class, because small business owners are not wealthy for the most part. Small business owners that I know are, upper middle class people. The true wealthy are the ones who own the multinational corporations, and they're the ones who benefit the most from these tax cuts. Now, he tries to disguise them as being something that helps small businesses, because he knows that the small business community is probably the largest business community in the United States. Okay? Many, many more small businesses than there are larger businesses. And, you know, that's the way that is. But you know, I can't help but say, you know, I don't trust anything the man says. I just don't. So I'm thinking that probably what's going to be, these are going to be disguised tax cuts aimed at the wealthy and, you know, packaged as small business tax cuts. The other thing that he also addressed were these health savings accounts. He wants to, you know, the president apparently wants to raise the dollar amount that can be allowed to accumulate in existing health savings accounts. Now, I know a lot of people around all over the country and you know, around the world for that matter. I don't know anyone, not one person, who has a health savings account. Okay? Now, I don't know anyone. Now, you might know someone, and if you do know someone, or if you have one, I'd love for you to call up and talk to us about it, because, you know, these health savings accounts are sort of an enigma. I mean, you know, sure, you're able to deposit money tax-free into an account while buying a high-deductible policy to cover catastrophic expenses, but, again, how much extra money do you have to stick aside for future health stuff? I mean, I don't. I just don't. And this is the statement that's in this article, which sounds so much like propaganda to me, it's not even funny. It says, health savings accounts help control costs by letting businesses or workers buy low-cost insurance policies for catastrophic events and then save tax-free for routine medical expenses. So in other words, you buy snake oil, stick it in a bottle, and hope that it'll, you know, when you have a heart attack, you can drink it and everything's okay. and then you pay cash for routine medical expenses is how I'm reading this. So you save money. So when you go to the doctor, in other words, you don't spend the money on a typical insurance policy. Instead, it's about cash. And I can't help but say, of course, this Republican administration, as well as the conservatives in Congress, they're all about the cash. Just witness Jack Abramoff, right? I'm going to give you the numbers now. But, you know, if you didn't hear the top of the show, I was in Macon, Georgia all weekend long and, had a wonderful lunch Saturday in a really great diner down there. I do encourage you, if you're interested in that story, go back and listen to the archive of this later. But I'm going to give you the number now to call in. If you're interested in doing that, you can call us live at 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. And that number will get you right onto the show. I mean, I don't screen it. I mean, I don't know how I can screen it because there's only one of me and only two ears and one mouth, which tells me that I should probably listen twice as much as I talk. But, you know, since this is a talk radio show, then I can't very well do that right now. We were just talking about the Bush speech that's going to be given on January the 31st. And I'm going to tell you, I just my analysis and my prediction is that we're not going to hear really anything new. What we're going to hear is repackaging of the same old stuff that this president has been marketing to his base, to those people that already support him or are leaning to support him. And perhaps have been dissuaded somewhat by the secret wiretapping, the eavesdropping, the torture, the secret prisons, you know, the abuses of power, the corruption, and what? Gosh, the list just goes on and on. This has been last year was a great year for George. it really was. And you know, and as time goes on, more and more of these stories are going to come out. So I do encourage you, if you're interested in talking about any of that stuff, to do send us an email or give us a call. You can send us an email also. You can send an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And I was also thinking tonight a little bit about – trying to, posit some questions to you tonight. And I think, and really this is a question, I'm interested in knowing, if you are planning on going out to protest the State of the Union address, I'd love to hear from you, because I want to know what's motivated you to get out and go and do something to speak out against this president while we still have a chance to do that. I'd love to hear from you, because I'd love to know what it is that motivates you to do that. We have, in this country, spent so much time sitting on our hands or typing or doing online petitions or whatever that we forget that a lot of times going to the streets and being a vocal crowd or whatever can also help affect social change. You know, and I am one of those people that believes very strongly that we have to do those things, because if we do not do those things, then what will happen is those rights will be taken away. Now, the other thing too, as I'm talking about the State of the Union address situation, that apparently the Park Service has there was a permit granted for this State of the Union address protest, and the World Can't Wait folks were given the area around the reflecting pool, and apparently that has been pulled, and they've split up into two or three areas where the protesters can be during the speech. So, may the division begin. So if you're interested in talking about that, you can talk about that too. World Can't Wait. If you're interested in that, those activities, please do go to worldcantwait.org. Great information there. All right. It's about 28 minutes after the hour, and we're going to do a quick break and we'll be back after the break here shortly and pick up some more of these stories. You are listening to All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch. If you'd like to call into the program, I do strongly encourage you to do that. You can call us at 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. Or you can email allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. One of the topics for discussion tonight is, what do you plan to do on the State of the Union speech? Do you plan to go out and protest, or are you going to sit home and cuss your TV? I'm interested in knowing. We're also going to talk about bunny pants. Thank you, Mike Malloy, for that term. And we're going to talk about a lot of other stuff, including a great story about some of the things that have happened with day labor and some other issues. So please do join us. We'll be right back.
Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. I wasn't a big Al Gore fan back in 2000, but I'm liking him more and more these days, ever since he got over the sting of the stolen election and returned from bearded retreat. He's been speaking boldly about the crisis of the Bush crowd, never more so than on Monday, when at Constitution Hall, Gore delivered a thoughtful but blistering speech on Bush's extraordinary power grabs. Said Gore, "America's Constitution's in grave danger," and he added, "the American values we hold most dear have been placed at serious risk by the unprecedented claims of the administration to a truly breathtaking expansion of executive power." And then he ran it down. He talked about the NSA scandal, and he itemized all the other evidence, the seizing of American citizens without due process, the torturing of prisoners, the kidnapping of detainees, and the shipping them off to other countries for torture. as Gore put it, the President of the United States has been breaking the law repeatedly and persistently. And Gore said a special counsel should be appointed to investigate and that Congress, too, should follow the evidence wherever it leads. I know where it leads. It leads to impeachment. And Al Gore, for one, has risen to the occasion. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I...
What is the legal authority? What is the constitutional authority for the president to eavesdrop on American citizens without getting court approval?
The president is acting under his constitutional authority, under statutory authority. I'm not a lawyer.
You are listening to All Things Reconsidered, the weekly radio program that brings you alternative perspectives on the events of the day.
Dear, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're gonna make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
The defendant, having been found guilty, is sentenced to 7 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 7 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 7 years of not having my best friend to play with.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
You're back with Bruce Birch, and this is All Things Reconsidered. So glad to have you back with us. I'm really glad that you guys choose to listen to this show on Sunday night, or else I'd just be talking to the four walls. And that's, you know, that's okay, too. I would have a good time with that, too, probably. there's a couple of topics, too. You know, I was talking about the world can't wait, and you know, and the... what that embodies, you know, and I'd love to hear from you if you're interested in talking about that, about what you might be doing on the night of the State of the Union address, because if you're listening to this program, chances are you're not a big fan of George Bush. You know, because I'm really down on the guy. I mean, he's pretty much a loser and a moron and raisin brain, as I've called him in another show that I do. And you know, George is not always the smartest guy, you know, on the block. We do have a call coming in, so we'll just go ahead and pick that up. And you're live with Bruce Birch on All Things Reconsidered. Hello.
Hello, Bruce Birch. This is Peter down in Tallahassee. How are you?
Peter from Tallahassee, Florida. Good to hear from you, my friend. How's
deep south. It's good to talk to you, too.
What's on your mind, man?
Well, Bruce, I found out something on Friday. It's kind of remarkable. I don't think you'll hear it anywhere but here. I will probably wait and call King Tate on prayer meeting night, because it's really a prayer meeting night type topic, because he's got a different set of listeners than you do to a large degree, because I just think it's kind of important. But do you remember, it's been about 6 months, maybe 8 months back, the huge media coverage about the churches that were considering allowing gay couples to get married, how it was going to divide the church, and the church was going to fall apart. And,
yes, I do.
And splinter into 100 groups, and it would be the end of some of the mainstream churches, and on and on and on and on. You remember all that?
Yes, I do. And I remember distinctly you telling me at one point that you, when you were leaving the chat room, that you're heading out to destroy heterosexual marriage.
Well, Bruce, I'm not doing too damn well. You got any tips? Well, you got any tips? You know, I could probably use them, because I haven't managed to break up a single one.
Well, a guy's got to try it, right?
Some of the statistics are coming in.
Oh,
and regarding
they've actually done a
one
study.
One of the churches, the United Church of Christ.
Okay,
it's been about 6 months ago that they began marrying gay folk, and of course, in that congregation, like the others, it's caused a huge rift. But actually, it didn't turn out to be so huge. Several points of information: they decided to do this in July, mm-hmm. last July. Now, since last July, 49 churches have disaffiliated from the United Church of Christ over the disagreement with the gay marriage resolution. And interestingly enough, I hate to bring up finances regarding a church, but you know, churches do have to have money too. Now,
sure.
Based
mm-hmm.
on the financial data, the combined membership of those 49 churches that withdrew were a little over 10,000 people. And they contributed approximately $89,000 to the annual support of United Church of Christ, and that actually the loss of that income actually represented less than 0.3%
wow.
of the total income of the church. But even that is not the main point of my call.
Okay.
What is really interesting is that during that same 6 month period, but not 6 months ago, since
uh-huh.
last July, since those 49 churches left, 23 new congregations have affiliated with the United Church of Christ, and an additional 42 churches are expressing a, quote, firm interest in joining.
Wow.
Now, Bruce, it just goes to show you, you trim out the dead wood in the tree and it'll grow.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is they basically are separating the wheat from the chaff, apparently.
Yes, they are, and when a church begins to actually walk the walk and talk the talk and live up to some of the examples of radical inclusion that Jesus taught, it will grow. And it just amazes me. You know, you will never hear this in the mainstream media. Everybody has the impression that, you know, it's a huge attack on marriage and churches, blah, 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 and it's going to ruin everything. But the reality is, you lose 42, and it looks like they're 49. Looks they've already gained 23 with another 42 expressing firm interest. You know, it's a growth thing. You know, I have always said, if mainstream churches would just hang a sign out on the front porch saying gay folks can get married here, they would all grow like hell. Can you imagine a more disenfranchised group from the church than gay people?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's a huge opportunity for outreach.
And interestingly enough, based on my experience with the population where I live, that discrimination crosses racial boundaries as well.
It's not
limited to any racial category. And what I find to be interesting is that it wasn't so long ago that there were laws that outlawed white and black people from marrying each other.
Well, yes, and that's exactly true. That is the law that the governor of Massachusetts has invoked. You know, since gay marriage is now allowed in Massachusetts, the governor has invoked a, what was it, 1930-something law, saying that you could not come to Massachusetts and marry if the state that you actually lived in did not permit you to marry. That's been reinstated, or actually being enforced now, simply to prevent gay people from coming from Arkansas, wherever they're coming from, just to go there and get married and go back home. You have to be a legal resident. But that law was intended originally to prevent black and white couples from marrying.
And then going back to
from
where...
From coming to Massachusetts to marry when it was legal there and not legal in so many other states. There's a million of the old, I guess they call them blue book laws, at least that's what I've always
I would call them.
Suddenly being reinvoked.
Jim Crow laws, maybe.
Yeah, in the interest of protecting marriage. And, you know, I just thought it was important to let everybody know that, in fact, it ain't all falling apart, and it looks like the deadwood's falling off and the churches are growing. You know, and don't let the screen door hit you. You know, get the hell out.
That's one of our southern sayings, isn't it, Peter? Don't let the screen door hit you. Well, I have a question for you, Peter.
I found that out Friday. I was dying to call somebody on Friday. I was dying to call Kincaid on Friday, but, you know, I just said, no, I'm going to save it for a prayer meeting. But, no, I'm going to tell you. And I'll probably bug him with it, too, on Wednesday. But, you know, the thing is that I just had to get this out because I just knew that nobody would know that. Did you know that?
I had no idea. I have a question for you, though, and that would be, what are you planning to do on the State of the Union address night?
Bruce, I cannot bear the sound of the man's voice.
Is it that bad?
I can't tell you what it does to me. I'm not sure that I can listen. There are groups here in Tallahassee that are going to be meeting at various locations, candlelight vigils and during the day. And I've followed some of those, and I may very well do something like that. But I certainly can't sit and listen to it. That's out of the question. I'll be throwing things and screaming, and the dog will look at me funny, and you know, it just won't work.
Well, okay. Well, and the reason why I'm asking is because it seems like everyone that I'm talking to is going to purposefully avoid this speech, and I'm thinking, well, if you're going to purposefully avoid the speech, then maybe we could purposefully do something else as well. You know, and even, you know, I don't know exactly what that would be in your locality, but I challenge you to you know, to get out and to be a part of something that's going on.
Well, there was a, you know, I, like many of you, I received the news alerts from folks like BuzzFlash and Truthout, and of course we get a lot of our information that way every day. But and I think it was Truthout that arrived later this afternoon that was suggesting that, in fact, urging the Democrats at some predetermined moment to simply get up and walk out.
I've heard that idea,
you know,
too.
Of the speech. And you know, I have to agree with that. There is no reason to be civil to these people. They have always fought dirty. Their behavior is always illegal, and to sit through it is just another passive endorsement. I doubt it will happen, but I thought that was a good idea for them to just get up and walk out. It would certainly make a statement.
It certainly would. Anything else you want to share with us tonight, Peter?
No, I guess not. The only other news I have is I read Brokeback Mountain. I felt like I needed to read it before I went to the theater to see it. It's only 50 pages. It's a short story. And, you know, it was just about all I could bear to read that book. I just left me in tears. I think I'm going to have to wait for it to come out on a DVD. I think I'm just too old to completely melt down in public. But it is a touching story, and it is not a graphic sexual story in any way. It's a love story, and it has it's It'll make you cry. But other than that, you know, life is good. Well, and the dog a bath.
I do have...
And churches are growing now that they're allowing gay marriage. I mean, what could be better? I'm a happy camper. Except that, you know, if Bush and Laura would go to prison, that would be fine.
Yeah. Well, I do have... Here is a story that's related to Brokeback Mountain, just as an FYI. Apparently, the film is not... Okay. Will not play in U.S. in any U.S. military theaters in Europe.
Is that a fact?
Yes, and this is out of Stars and Stripes today, the European edition today, and basically says is that, but of course they had to state for the record that it's not because it's a gay cowboy love story.
Of course not. Oh, of course not. It could be that. It's a lot like the suppression of progressive radio American radio show, I've forgotten what they call it now, the broadcast, the radio broadcast for the troops.
Right, right.
But,
right.
You know, that doesn't
Armed Forces Radio.
All, yeah. It really doesn't.
But here's the reason they're giving.
Anyway, the right has been remarkably quiet about this, but, you know, they're making little noises. But, you know, the thing about once a new idea has been placed in people's mind, a new type of tolerance or a new awakening or a new dawn, if you will.
Sure.
There will always be those who rage against the dawn. They do not want that day to come. They will fight like hell to keep the darkness, to keep the status quo. And, you know, this is turning out to be a pretty huge movie. It's turning out to be a huge date movie.
Really?
A lot of men are not going to see it, but, you know, a lot of men are dating women. I mean, you know, let's face it.
Well,
and a lot of women want to see it. And so it's turning out to be, at this point in time, it's moving into the good date movie category. So I think a lot of people are going to see this.
I have not.
Over. Anyway,
I have not yet seen it, Peter, but I plan to this week. I'm actually taking a week's vacation this week, and I'm going to, like, that's on my list. I have a list of things that I haven't been able to get to because I'm so busy, you know.
Yeah.
And that is on my list of things to do, is to go see that movie and to visit my mother, who I haven't seen.
Well, that's great news. You need a break, Bruce. And, you know, there are actually a number of other movies like this. They're not cowboy movies, but they're actually love stories. You know, I was so, it meant so much to me over the last five, 6 years that movies are coming out that are not pornography. You know, for so many years, the only thing, if you wanted to see anything that was gay, it was just pornography. And, you know, pornography has its place. I've gotten a little older now. I don't, it's not something I seek after. I mean, you know,
sure.
You kind of calm down when you get a little older. But the thing is you know, that, you know, it's one of the things that leads people to believe that it's all about sex. And, you know, there's an interesting term a lot of people don't understand it. And really, the term homosexual is a little bit misleading. I think a better term is homoemotional. And if you think about it, aren't your attachments toward women more emotional? I mean, at first everything's sexual, but after time passes, they become emotional.
Absolutely, yes.
It's just the nature of human beings. Homoemotional is actually a much better term. It gives people maybe a better understanding of it.
Well, you know, what we need to do. We need to push that. We
sex
need
and Kleenex and you know, everything they sell on TV.
We need to push that forward.
And thank you for letting me share this story.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for calling in to All Things Reconsidered, Peter. You're the first one in tonight, so you get the prize.
Okay. Yay! I win. Okay. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye. And that was our great friend Peter from Tallahassee, Florida. Peter is a longtime listener and a supporter of the show. So, again, thank you, Peter, for calling in. The story that I was quoting from is from Stars and Stripes, the European edition of Stars and Stripes. And apparently, the reasoning why they were not showing the show in the European, showing Brokeback Mountain in the European military theaters. Let me just read you this and see if you think that this holds any water. When the Army and Air Force Exchange Service selects first-run movies, films from independent studios usually aren't considered, says John Walters, Motion Picture Program Manager. arrangements for first-run movies shown on military bases within 2 weeks of their stateside openings require the distributors to send AAFES 11 prints of their film. But movies such as Brokeback Mountain, which run on relatively few screens, unlike The Chronicles of Narnia, etc., blockbusters, do not have an adequate number of copies. Okay. All right. So basically, they didn't have enough copies to send AAFES. And that's the reasoning why, you know, I mean, you can't get it in okay, let me just be quiet. That's just, I see that as complete hogwash, but, you know, what do I know? I'm not, you know, I'm just a guy sitting around doing radio. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back here in a few minutes. It's about 10:51. If you'd like to call into the show, you can do so by calling 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. You can also send us an email, allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And we'll be right back.
Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. It's not hard to imagine the new configuration up at the Supreme Court if Samuel Alito ascends to the bench, which shamefully appears likely. Expect a solid right-wing batting order, leading off with Thomas, Alito, Scalia, and then Roberts as cleanup. We got a glimpse of this on Tuesday when the Supreme Court ruled against Ashcroft and in favor of Oregon's authority to allow doctors to prescribe medicine in limited circumstances for assisted suicide. Thomas, Scalia, and Roberts were the three dissenting votes, but they didn't prevail and wouldn't have even with Alito. Writing for the majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy denounced Ashcroft's overreach. Wrote Kennedy, "The authority claimed by the Attorney General is both beyond his expertise and incongruous with the statutory purpose and design." Those last few words could readily apply to Bush's NSA overreach. By the way, it's noteworthy that Kennedy was the author of the majority decision. He's usually considered a swing vote. With Alito on the bench, whichever way Kennedy swings, so swings the court. If Kennedy keeps Bush accountable to statutory purpose and design, and if he defends precedent, and if he defends our constitutional system of checks and balances, it's just possible, possible, that we can survive Alito's ascendancy. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see
it. Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
Remember the election of 2000? Frightening. But we can all thank our lucky stock portfolios that when the shouting and those silly recounts were over, the Bush-Cheney team emerged with a clear 5-4 majority. Well, we don't want to go through that again, so you can bet your last $1 million that the next election won't be all messy. No dimpled ballots, no hanging chads, in fact, no paper at all. Thanks to our good friends at Diebold and their touchscreen voting machine, we can ensure that swing state swing our way. Just think, Chad will be just another country to liberate, and all Americans can look forward to 4 more wars. I'm Xenophobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Pick up the billionaire!
You're listening to my dad, Bruce Birch, on All Things Reconsidered.
All right, you're back with Bruce Birch. This is All Things Reconsidered, and we're about 5 minutes before the top of the hour. We've been talking about a lot of different stuff. We had a great conversation with Peter. I'm just recapping the hour. Started off the show with just sort of advising you about a wonderful restaurant down in Macon, Georgia. The H&H Diner. where you can go and check that out. And I mean, just a wonderful restaurant down there. Just a wonderful restaurant. Anyway, we talked about Bush, the fact that he's going to be turning around the State of the Union speech, and I also posited the question, and I'm hoping that maybe we might get some somebody call in who's interested in talking about this topic, the world can't wait, and what you plan to be doing around the State of the Union address. Now, my good friend Bob Kincaid, who is also known as Bob Kincaid, HeadOnRadio.com. Go check it out. HeadOnRadio.com. You'll hear his promo after the top of the hour. Is going to be on the air that night. So if you are going to be around and online, you can stream his show and you can rant away with Bob. So, yeah, please do that. And let's see, what else did I want to cover here before we get up to the top of the hour? I'd love for you to give me a call if you can. Give me a call at 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855 is the number. The email address is allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And, you know, there's a number of different topics we'd love to talk to you about. The other thing, just a very quick foreshadowing for after the top of the hour. And I'm actually trying to pull this up as I'm talking. I wanted to talk about the whole Medicare prescription drug program situation. Because, and we're going to talk about John Kerry, too. Apparently he came out and said something about Alito, and I hate to give him any more press because he's just kind of disappointing, but we're going to talk about him too. It is now 10:57, and we will be back in a few moments after the top of the hour. If you'd like to call, please do so, 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. We're going to be doing radio tonight until about 1 a.m., so join in the conversation. I would love for you to. You are listening to All Things Reconsidered, and my name is Bruce Birch. So we went to this diner, and this place is called the H&H Diner. I think it's either diner or cafeteria, but it's not a cafeteria, so it must have been a diner. Anyway, H&H Diner, it's on the corner of New Street and Mulberry, I believe, in Macon, Georgia, right beside the hospital over there. Walked in the door, and there's this wonderful smaller African-American lady, probably in her 70s, named Mama Louise. who is behind the counter, you know, and they're back there, you know, she and it looked like her mother, you know what I'm saying? Lady was like maybe 80, doing the dishes, washing these huge pots and pans and stuff, and I'm sure it was a family business. So we walked in and sat down, and I noticed on the walls there were all of these pictures, right? So I was checking out all these pictures, and these pictures on the walls were all of the Allman Brothers Band. So I turn to my friend and I say, you know, that's kind of cool that they really like the Allman Brothers Band. And he says, well, now, so just as a preface, the Allman Brothers Band was founded in Macon, Georgia. So there's the background. Dwayne Allman was actually killed in Macon, Georgia in a motorcycle accident. Anyway, so I see all these pictures and stuff. And, you know, and I asked my friend about it. And he said, yeah, this was their favorite place to come eat when they were in town in Macon, Georgia. So I felt kind of, you know, I don't know, kind of privileged that I sort of was able to experience the H&H Diner in Macon, Georgia, because it seems to be a southern delicacy and a southern delight. And as we're sitting there, you know, people were coming in who were wearing, you know, the Allman Brothers regalia and, you know, coming in and looking around and you know, I guess performing a pilgrimage, I guess, is the best way to put it, because some of them were from out of town, and it's kind of interesting. But that was my highlight of Saturday, besides being in this service conference all weekend where I got to learn about a lot of stuff. I'm not going to go into a lot of that right now because that's not really relevant to what we're doing on the air. But I wanted to share that just because if you're ever in Macon, Georgia, please do go check out the H&H cafeteria or diner. Just an amazing thing. Now, the funny thing was, as I'm walking out of the cafeteria, my phone rang. And so I answered the phone, and it was a friend. And so I walked outside to use the telephone, and I walked up the street about half a block. And right there's a storefront. And I looked down at the tiles going into the store. And the tiles, in the tiles that were old, I mean, they were like, you know, probably maybe from back in the 30s, 40s maybe earlier. Little small square tiles that you see in older bathrooms a lot. But inlaid in the tiles were little swastikas. You know, I saw that and I didn't know really what to think about it. Besides, I was like, whoa, okay, that's strange. But anyway, so that was a wonderful weekend. I just got back into town. It's not an hour ago, not even an hour ago. So I'm not going to say I'm unprepared for the show because I'm really not unprepared, but because I've done enough of these that I can pretty much go right on the air and do some stuff. But suffice it to say that I just walked through the door and have been, you know, basically driving for the last, well, 9 hours. Anyway, tonight we're going to do a lot of different things. We're going to take some phone calls. We're going to talk about some of the top stories in the week, in the news this week. The Bush administration is going on the offensive over this whole spying thing that, you know, they're trying to turn the tables on that. The State of the Union address is coming up. Things are beginning to heat back up in Washington. So we're going to take a look at that. Also, just as a reminder, it's now 7 minutes after the hour. Just as a reminder, if you want to talk with us, you want to chat while we're doing the show, please do come to the Tom Hartman chat room, and that's at tomhartman.com. Okay, tomhartman.com. That's TomHartmann.com. So, you know, do come there, chat with us. The other thing, too, is that this show is archived by WhiteRoseSociety.org. Ben Birch over there, B-E-N Birch, no relation to me, though I guess we might be distant cousins, who the hell knows. He is the purveyor of that site, and there's over, you know, he right on the front page of the site says over 5 million hours of liberal progressive talk served from that website. And my friend Joni in the Tom Hartman chat room says that in order to listen to all of that, you would have to have been born in 1420-something. I think it was 1426, I think it was what she told me. So, you know, there's no way you could all possibly listen to it all, but I do recommend that you do listen to all of the All Things Reconsidered that is on there. shameless plug. Peter Werby is not going to be on the air tonight, so we are going to run from now until 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So stick with us. If you would like to, we're going to very quickly take a quick break, and we will be. Let's see if I can. You know, here again, I gotta get back into doing this. But we're going to take a very quick break, and after that quick break, we'll be right back. My name is Bruce Birch, and you are listening to All Things Reconsidered.
This is Sansara Taylor. The world can't wait. Drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush will give his State of the Union address. But we already know that the state of this union is a state of emergency. The Bush regime is out to remake the world. Endless war, an Orwellian police state, religious tyranny, no dissent, no critical thought, no right to abortion, a ruined planet. This regime is immoral. It's unjust, and it's indictably criminal. We must stop it. On Tuesday, January 31st, when Bush gives his State of the Union address, protest across the country demand Bush step down. The next Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C. to bring our demand right to the White House. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush must step down. Find us today, worldcantwait.org, 866-973-4463.
He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night, headonradio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember it. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no Oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts. The issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq war and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard and we could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
All right, this is Bruce Birch back with you for All Things Reconsidered, and I'd like to welcome you back to the show. We just took a really quick break there because I needed to take care of a couple of housekeeping items that needed to be dealt with. I'd like to, you know, point you again back to Ben Birch of White Rose Society. He does a great, great job there, too. So please do go check him out, and if you have an extra buck or two or 10 or 20, send them to him because doing what he does costs a lot of money. Okay, we're going to go right into a story here, and this is we heard a promo during the last break that was Sansara Taylor of World Can't Wait. Now Sansara has been on this program a number of times, and she has we've interviewed her. She is one of the co-initiators of World Can't Wait, which is a movement that is focused on driving Bush from power, driving the Bush regime out of the White House. We plan to have hopefully some material, some interviews with her in the very near future, perhaps next week before the State of the Union event. But we'll see what we can do with that. But one of the things that has come up now, I'm involved in a local World Can't Wait group myself, and one of the things that's come up has been, you know, this whole situation surrounding the State of the Union address, and the fact that, you know, President Bush's last year was crap. it was bad. You know, I mean, the man just, I mean, you know, whatever he could botch up, he really botched up. And and I'm laughing about it just because, you know, I mean, he couldn't have done any worse. I mean, you know, I guess he could have. Let me take that back. He could have done much worse. But he did a darn good job of at doing pretty badly. What he plans to do for the State of the Union address is he plans to turn the tide. He plans to turn around his flagging presidency, and he plans to try to create momentum to carry him through the next 3 years. And this speech that's going to be this coming the 31st is really, you know, the speech that that is, you know, like I said, the speech that he hopes will turn his presidency around, you know. Now, I am one of those people that when I watch him speak on television, I cringe. I just, it's hard for me to take because he's such the moron. I mean, the man cannot talk. I mean, he cannot, I mean, you know, and I know people who live in the Northwest who say that I can't talk. Bush is even much, much more worse than I am. Oh, I'm sorry. I was corrected. If you listen to all of Ben Burch's stuff, you would have to have been born in 1452 instead of 1426. So, just as an aside. But let's get back to the Bush story. Apparently, this past Saturday or yesterday, President Bush previewed three domestic themes of his upcoming State of the Union address: tax cuts, energy prices, and the rising cost of health care, which, of course, he will tie into tort reform. You know, I think the deal is that he has just completely given up on winning over the populace. I think he's given up on any hope of ever achieving any kind of bipartisan support for anything that he does, because what he's based on those three themes: tax cuts, energy prices, and the rising cost of health care. You know, what I'm thinking is that he is using this speech as a way to energize his base, as a way to energize those moderate to right-leaning voters that, well, you know, that all they need to do, you know, basically a feather, and they fall over onto the right side. So let me just read you part of this because I think it's important to hear this. Bush, this is out of Yahoo News, and it's the title is Bush Previews His State of the Union Themes. The author is Deb Reichman. no doubt, it's actually Reichman. Anyway, Associated Press. Excuse me. Bush took partial credit for recent gains in the U.S. economy and urged Congress to make tax cuts permanent, a move that he said would specifically help small businesses because most small businesses pay taxes at individual income tax rates. Yeah, that's probably a true statement. A lot of small businesses. Now, I used to be a small business owner. Okay, I was before I got into radio. I was an electrical contractor a few years ago. I had an electrical contracting business for about 5 years, and it didn't do too bad. Made fairly good money. I also was able to do a lot of volunteerism using that trade because I was associated with a local Habitat for Humanity, and I wired probably, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 houses for them pro bono, just because I, you know, believe in what they were doing here locally. Anyway, I don't know that I agree with everything they do everywhere else, but locally they were a fine organization and I helped them out. But I was a small business and I was not incorporated. So I basically pay taxes on my business as a sole proprietorship, okay, which is a designation. Now, this was under Bill Clinton, okay. This was under the last probably, let's see, from about 96 through 2001, okay. Now under Bill Clinton, there were already so many tax cuts that I could take because I ran my business out of my home. Because I was able to write off a lot of business expenses. I mean, you know, things like telephone, blah, 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 as long as it was used only for the office and that kind of thing. And I was able to actually write off part of my mortgage because of the square footage of the office that was inside of my home as a business expense. So there is an incredible amount of tax relief or tax reductions, I should say, out there that helped a lot. I mean, after I did all the tax deductions, I, you know, barely made a profit, and yet I did well. So, you know, there is the line item, and then there's the tax items, and I wonder, you know, just how much these tax cuts that he's talking about are actually strengthening the economy. Because see, what I've watched happen with these tax cuts that he's been talking about is that they really don't target as much of the middle class, because small business owners are not wealthy for the most part. small business owners that I know are, you know, upper middle class people. The true wealthy are the ones who own the, you know, the multinational corporations, and they're the ones who benefit the most from these tax cuts. Now, he tries to disguise them as being something that helps small businesses because he knows that the small business community is probably the largest business community in the United States. Okay? Many, many more small businesses than there are larger businesses. And you know, that's the way that is. But you know, I can't help but say, you know, I don't trust anything the man says. I just don't. So I'm thinking that probably what's going to be these are going to be disguised tax cuts aimed at the wealthy and, you know, packaged as small business tax cuts. The other thing that he also addressed were these health savings accounts. The president apparently wants to raise the dollar amount that can be allowed to accumulate in existing health savings accounts. Now, I know a lot of people around all over the country and you know, around the world for that matter. I don't know anyone, not one person, who has a health savings account. Okay? Now, I don't know anyone. Now, you might know someone, and if you do know someone, or if you have one, I'd love for you to call up and talk to us about it, because, you know, these things, these health savings accounts are sort of an enigma. I mean, you know, sure, you're able to deposit money tax-free into an account while buying a high-deductible policy to cover catastrophic expenses, but, again, how much extra money do you have to stick aside for future health stuff? I mean, I don't. I just don't. And this is the statement that's in this article, which sounds so much like propaganda to me, it's not even funny. It says, health savings accounts help control costs by letting businesses or workers buy low-cost insurance policies for catastrophic events and then save tax-free for routine medical expenses. So in other words, you buy snake oil, stick it in a bottle, and hope that it'll, you know, when you have a heart attack, you can drink it and everything's okay. And then you pay cash for routine medical expenses is how I'm reading this. So you save money. So when you go to the doctor, in other words, you don't spend the money on a typical insurance policy. Instead, it's about cash. And I can't help but say, of course, this Republican administration, as well as the conservatives in Congress, they're all about the cash. Just witness Jack Abramoff, right? I'm going to give you the numbers now. But, you know, if you didn't hear the top of the show, I was in Macon, Georgia all weekend long and, had a wonderful lunch Saturday in a really great diner down there. I do encourage you, if you're interested in that story, go back and listen to the archive of this later. But I'm going to give you the number now to call in. If you're interested in doing that, you can call us live at 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. And that number will get you right onto the show. I mean, I don't screen it. I mean, I don't know how I can screen it because there's only one of me and only two ears and one mouth, which tells me that I should probably listen twice as much as I talk. But, you know, since this is a talk radio show, then I can't very well do that right now. We were just talking about the Bush speech that's going to be given on January the 31st. And I'm going to tell you, I just my analysis and my prediction is that we're not going to hear really anything new. What we're going to hear is repackaging of the same old stuff that this president has been marketing to his base, to those people that already support him or are leaning to support him and perhaps have been dissuaded somewhat by the secret wiretapping, the eavesdropping, the torture, the secret prisons, you know, the abuses of power, the corruption, and what? Gosh, the list just goes on and on. This has been last year was a great year for George. it really was. And as time goes on, more and more of these stories are going to come out. So I do encourage you, if you're interested in talking about any of that stuff, to do send us an email or give us a call. You can send us an email also. You can send an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And I was also thinking tonight a little bit about trying to posit some questions to you tonight. And I think, and really this is a question, I'm interested in knowing if you are planning on going out to protest the State of the Union address, I'd love to hear from you, because I want to know what's motivated you to get out and go and do something to speak out against this president while we still have a chance to do that. I'd love to hear from you, because I'd love to know what it is that motivates you to do that. We have in this country spent so much time sitting on our hands or typing or doing online petitions or whatever that we forget that a lot of times going to the streets and being a vocal crowd or whatever can also help affect social change. You know, and I am one of those people that believes very strongly that we have to do those things, because if we do not do those things, then what will happen is those rights will be taken away. Now, the other thing too, as I'm talking about the State of the Union address situation, that apparently the Park Service has there was a permit granted for the State of the Union address protest, and the World Can't Wait folks were given the area around the reflecting pool, and apparently that has been pulled, and they've split up the two or three areas where the protesters can be during the speech. So, may the division begin. So if you're interested in talking about that, you can talk about that too. World Can't Wait. If you're interested in that, those activities, please do go to worldcantwait.org. Great information there. All right. It's about 28 minutes after the hour, and we're going to do a quick break and try to... We'll be back after the break here shortly and pick up some more of these stories. You are listening to All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch. If you'd like to call into the program, I do strongly encourage you to do that. You can call us at 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. Or you can email allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. One of the topics for discussion tonight is, what do you plan to do on the State of the Union speech? Do you plan to go out and protest, or are you going to sit home and cuss your TV? I'm interested in knowing. We're also going to talk about bunny pants. Thank you, Mike Molloy, for that term. And we're going to talk about a lot of other stuff, including a great story about some of the things that have happened with day labor and some other issues. So please do join us. We'll be right back.
Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. I wasn't a big Al Gore fan back in 2000, but I'm liking him more and more these days, ever since he got over the sting of the stolen election and returned from bearded retreat. He's been speaking boldly about the crisis of the Bush crowd. never more so than on Monday, when at Constitution Hall, Gore delivered a thoughtful but blistering speech on Bush's extraordinary power grabs. Said Gore, "America's Constitution's in grave danger," and he added, "The American values we hold most dear have been placed at serious risk by the unprecedented claims of the administration to a truly breathtaking expansion of executive power." And then he ran it down. He talked about the NSA scandal, and he itemized all the other evidence, the seizing of American citizens without due process, the torturing of prisoners, the kidnapping of detainees, and the shipping them off to other countries for torture. As Gore put it, "The President of the United States has been breaking the law repeatedly and persistently." And Gore said a special counsel should be appointed to investigate, and that Congress, too, should follow the evidence wherever it leads. I know where it leads. It leads to impeachment. And Al Gore, for one, has risen to the occasion. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
What is the legal authority? What is the constitutional authority for the president to eavesdrop on American citizens without getting court approval?
The president is acting under his constitutional authority, under statutory authority. I'm not a lawyer.
You are listening to All Things Reconsidered, the weekly radio program that brings you alternative perspectives on the events of the day.
You're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
The defendant, having been found guilty, is sentenced to 7 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 7 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 7 years of not having my best friend to play with.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
All right, you're back with Bruce Birch, and this is All Things Reconsidered. So glad to have you back with us. I'm really glad that you guys choose to listen to this show on Sunday night, or else I'd just be talking to the four walls. And that's, you know, that's okay, too. I would have a good time with that, too, probably. there's a couple of topics, too. You know, I was talking about the world can't wait, and you know, and what that embodies, you know, and I'd love to hear from you if you're interested in talking about that, about what you might be doing on the night of the State of the Union address, because if you're listening to this program, chances are you're not a big fan of George Bush. You know, because I'm really down on the guy. I mean, he's pretty much a loser and a moron and raisin brain, as I've called him in another show that I do. And you know, George is not always the smartest guy, you know, on the block. We do have a call coming in, so we'll just go ahead and pick that up. And you're live with Bruce Birch on All Things Reconsidered. Hello.
Hello, Bruce Birch. This is Peter down in Tallahassee. How are you?
Peter from Tallahassee, Florida. Good to hear from you, my friend. How's
Deep South. It's good to talk to you, too.
What's on your mind, man?
Well, Bruce, I found out something on Friday. It's kind of remarkable. I don't think you'll hear it anywhere but here. I will probably wait and call King Tate on prayer meeting night, because it's really a prayer meeting night type topic, because he's got a different set of listeners than you do to a large degree, because I just think it's kind of important. But do you remember, it's been about 6 months, maybe 8 months back, the huge media coverage about the churches that were considering allowing gay couples to get married, how it was going to divide the church, and the church was going to fall apart. And,
yes, I do.
And splinter into 100 groups, and it would be the end of some of the mainstream churches, and on and on and on and on. Remember all that?
Yes, I do. And I remember distinctly you telling me at one point that you, when you were leaving the chat room, that you're heading out to destroy heterosexual marriage.
Well, Bruce, I'm not doing too damn well. If you've got any tips. Well, if you got any tips, you know, I could probably use them, because I haven't managed to break up a single one.
Well, a guy's got to try it, right?
Some of the statistics are coming in.
Oh,
and regarding
they've actually done a
one
study.
Of the churches, the United Church of Christ.
Okay,
it's been about 6 months ago that they began marrying gay folk, and of course, it in that congregation, like the others, it's caused a huge rift. But actually, it didn't turn out to be so huge. Several points of information: they decided to do this in July, mm-hmm. last July. Now, since last July, 49 churches have disaffiliated from the United Church of Christ over the disagreement with the gay marriage resolution. And interestingly enough, I hate to bring up finances regarding a church, but you know, churches do have to have money too. Now,
sure.
Based
mm-hmm.
on the financial data, the combined membership of those 49 churches that withdrew were a little over 10,000 people. And they contributed approximately $89,000 to the annual support of United Church of Christ, and that actually the loss of that income actually represented less than 0.3%
wow.
of the total income of the church. But even that is not the main point of my call.
Okay.
What is really interesting is that during that same 6 month period, not 6 months ago, since uh-huh. last July, since those 49 churches left, 23 new congregations have affiliated with the United Church of Christ, and an additional 42 churches are expressing a, quote, firm interest in joining.
Wow.
Now, Bruce, it just goes to show you trim out the dead wood in the tree, and it'll grow.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is they basically are separating the wheat from the chaff, apparently.
Yes, they are, and when a church begins to actually walk the walk and talk the talk and live up to some of the examples of radical inclusion that Jesus taught, it will grow. And it just amazes me. You know, you will never hear this in the mainstream media. Everybody has the impression that, you know, it's a huge attack on marriage and churches, blah, 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 and it's going to ruin everything. But the reality is, you lose 42, and it looks like they're 49. Looks they've already gained 23 with another 42 expressing firm interest. You know, It's a growth thing. You know, I have always said, if mainstream churches would just hang a sign out on the front porch saying, gay folks can get married here, they would all grow like hell. Can you imagine a more disenfranchised group from the church than gay people?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's a huge opportunity for outreach.
And that, and you know, and interestingly enough, based on my experience with you know, with the population where I live, that discrimination crosses racial boundaries as well.
It's not
limited to any, like, you know, to any racial category. And what I find to be interesting is that it wasn't so long ago that there were laws that outlawed white and black people from marrying each other.
Well, yes, and that's exactly true. That is the law that the governor of Massachusetts has invoked. You know, since gay marriage is now allowed in Massachusetts, the governor has invoked a, what was it, 1930-something law saying that you could not come to Massachusetts and marry if the state that you actually lived in did not permit you to marry. That's been reinstated, or actually being enforced now, simply to prevent gay people from coming from Arkansas, wherever they're coming from, just to go there and get married and go back home. You have to be a legal resident. But that law was intended originally to prevent black and white couples from marrying.
And then going back to
from
where...
From coming to Massachusetts to marry when it was legal there and not legal in so many other states. There's a million of the old, I guess they call them blue book laws, at least that's what I've always
I would call them.
Suddenly being reinvoked.
Jim Crow laws, maybe.
Yeah, in the interest of protecting marriage. And, you know, I just thought it was important to let everybody know that, in fact, it ain't all falling apart, and it looks like the deadwood's falling off and the churches are growing. You know, and don't let the screen door hit you.
That's one of our southern sayings, isn't it, Peter? Don't let the screen door hit you. Well, I have a question for you, Peter.
I found that out Friday. I was dying to call somebody on Friday. I was dying to call Kincaid on Friday, but you know, I just no. I'm going to save it for prayer meeting, but no, I'm going to tell you, and I'll probably bug him with it too on Wednesday. But you know, the thing is that I just had to get this out because I just knew that nobody would know that. Did you know that?
I had no idea. I have a question for you though, and that would be, what are you planning to do on the State of the Union address night?
Bruce, I cannot bear the sound of the man's voice.
Is it that bad?
I can't tell you what it does to me. I'm not sure that I can listen. There are groups here in Tallahassee that are going to be meeting at various locations, candlelight vigils and during the day. And I've followed some of those, and I may very well do something like that. But I certainly can't sit and listen to it. That's out of the question. I'll be throwing things and screaming, and the dog will look at me funny, and you know, it just won't work.
Well, okay. Well, and the reason why I'm asking is because it seems like everyone that I'm talking to is going to purposefully avoid this speech, and I'm thinking, well, if you're going to purposefully avoid the speech, then maybe we could purposefully do something else as well. You know, and even, you know, I don't know exactly what that would be in your locality, but I challenge you to you know, to get out and to be a part of something that's going on.
Well, there was a, you know, I, like many of you, I received the news alerts from folks like Buzzflash and Truthout, and of course we get a lot of our information that way every day. But and I think it was Truthout, it arrived later this afternoon, that was suggesting that, in fact, urging the Democrats at some predetermined moment to simply get up and walk out.
I've heard that
and,
idea,
you know,
too.
Of the speech. And you know, I have to agree with that. There is no reason to be civil to these people. They have always fought dirty. Their behavior is always illegal, and to sit through it is just another passive endorsement. I doubt it will happen, but I thought that was a good idea for them to just get up and walk out. It would certainly make a statement.
It certainly would. Anything else you want to share with us tonight, Peter?
No, I guess not. The only other news I have is I read Brokeback Mountain. I felt like I needed to read it before I went to the theater to see it. It's only 50 pages. It's a short story. And, you know, it was just about all I could bear to read that book. I just left me in tears. I think I'm going to have to wait for it to come out on a DVD. I think I'm just too old to completely melt down in public. But it is a touching story, and it is not a graphic sexual story in any way. It's a love story, and it'll make you cry. But other than that, you know, life is good.
Well,
the dog a bath.
I do have,
and churches are growing now that they're allowing gay marriage. I mean, what could be better? I'm a happy camper, except that, you know, if Bush and Laura would go to prison, that would be fine.
Yeah, well, I do have, here is a story that's related to Brokeback Mountain, just as an FYI. Apparently, the film will not play in U.S., in any U.S. military theaters in Europe.
Is that a fact?
Yes, and this is out of Stars and Stripes, today. The European edition today. And basically it says is that, But of course, they had to state for the record that it's not because it's a gay cowboy love story.
Of course not. Oh, of course not. It couldn't be that. It's a lot like the suppression of progressive radio on American radio show. I've forgotten what they call it now. The broadcast, the radio broadcast for the troops.
Right, right.
But
they,
you know, that doesn't
Armed Forces Radio.
All, yeah. It really doesn't.
But here's the reason they're giving.
Anyway, the right has been remarkably quiet about this, but you know, they're making little noises. But you know, the thing about once a new idea has been placed in people's mind, a new type of tolerance or a new awakening or a new dawn, if you will.
Sure.
There will always be those who rage against the dawn. They do not want that day to come. They will fight like hell to keep the darkness, to keep the status quo. And, you know, this is turning out to be a pretty huge movie. It's turning out to be a huge date movie.
Really?
A lot of men are not going to see it, but, you know, a lot of men are dating women. I mean, you know, let's face it.
Well,
And a lot of women want to see it, and so it's turning out to be, at this point in time, it's moving into the good date movie category, so I think a lot of people are going to see this.
I have not yet seen it, Peter, but I plan to this week. I'm actually taking a week's vacation this week, and I'm going to, like, that's on my list. I have a list of things that I haven't been able to get to because I'm so busy, you know?
Yeah.
And that is on my list of things to do, is to go see that movie, and to visit my mother, who I haven't seen.
Well, that's great news. You need a break, Bruce. And, you know, there are actually a number of other movies like this. They're not cowboy movies, but they're actually love stories. You know, I was so, it meant so much to me over the last five, 6 years that movies are coming out that are not pornography. You know, for so many years, the only thing, if you wanted to see anything that was gay, it was just pornography. And, you know, and, you know, pornography has its place. I've gotten a little older now. I don't, it's not something I seek after. I mean, you know,
sure.
You kind of calm down when you get a little older. But the thing is, you know, that, you know, it's one of the things that leads people to believe that it's all about sex. And, you know, there's an interesting term. A lot of people don't understand it. And really, the term homosexual is a little bit misleading. I think a better term is homo-emotional. And if you think about it, aren't your attachments toward women more emotional? I mean, at first everything's sexual, but after time passes, they become emotional.
Absolutely, yes.
It's just the nature of human beings. You know, homo-emotional is actually a much better term. It gives people maybe a better understanding of it.
Well, you know what we need to do? We need to push that.
Sex and Kleenex and, you know, everything they sell on TV.
We need to push that forward.
And thank you for letting me share this story.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for calling in to All Things Reconsidered, Peter. You're the first one in tonight, so you get the prize.
Okay. Yay, I win. Okay, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, have a great night.
Bye.
Bye. And that was our great friend, Peter, from Tallahassee, Florida. Peter is a longtime listener and a supporter of the show. So, again, thank you, Peter, for calling in. the story that I was quoting from is from Stars and Stripes, the European edition of Stars and Stripes, and apparently the reasoning why they were not showing the show in the European, showing Brokeback Mountain in the European military theaters. Let me just read you this and see if, you know, if you think that this holds any water. When the Army and Air Force Exchange Service selects first-run movies, films from independent studios usually aren't considered, says John Walters, motion picture program manager. Arrangements for first-run movies shown on military bases within 2 weeks of their stateside openings require the distributors to send AAFES 11 prints of their film, but movies such as Brokeback Mountain, which run on relatively few screens, unlike The Chronicles of Narnia, etc., blockbusters, do not have an adequate number of copies. Okay, all right. So basically, they didn't have enough copies to send AAFES, and that's the reasoning why, you know, I mean, you can't get it in. Okay, let me just be quiet. That's just, I see that as complete hogwash, but, you know, what do I know? I'm just a guy sitting around doing radio. We're gonna take a break, and we'll be back, here in a few minutes. It's about, 10:51. If you'd like to call into the show, you can do so by calling 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. You can also send us an email. allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org, and we'll be right back.
Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. It's not hard to imagine the new configuration up at the Supreme Court if Samuel Alito ascends to the bench, which shamefully appears likely. Expect a solid right-wing batting order, leading off with Thomas, Alito, Scalia, and then Roberts as cleanup. We got a glimpse of this on Tuesday when the Supreme Court ruled against Ashcroft and in favor of Oregon's authority to allow doctors to prescribe medicine in limited circumstances for assisted suicide. Thomas, Scalia, and Roberts were the three dissenting votes, but they didn't prevail and wouldn't have even with Alito. Writing for the majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy denounced Ashcroft's overreach. Wrote Kennedy, "The authority claimed by the Attorney General is both beyond his expertise and incongruous with the statutory purpose and design." Those last few words could readily apply to Bush's NSA overreach. By the way, it's noteworthy that Kennedy was the author of the majority decision. He's usually considered a swing vote. With Alito on the bench, whichever way Kennedy swings, so swings the court. If Kennedy keeps Bush accountable to statutory purpose and design, and if he defends precedent, and if he defends our constitutional system of checks and balances, it's just possible, possible, that we can survive Alito's ascendancy. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I stand.
Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
Remember the election of 2000? Frightening. But we can all thank our lucky stock portfolios that when the shouting and those silly recounts were over, the Bush-Cheney team emerged with a clear 5-4 majority. Well, we don't want to go through that again, so you can bet your last $1 million that the next election won't be all messy. No dimpled ballots, no hanging chads, in fact, no paper at all. Thanks to our good friends at Diebold and their touchscreen voting machine, We can ensure that swing state swing our way. Just think, Chad will be just another country to liberate, and all Americans can look forward to four more wars. I'm Xenophobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Pick up the billionaire!
You're listening to my dad, Bruce Birch, on All Things Reconsidered.
All right, you're back with Bruce Birch. This is All Things Reconsidered, and we're about 5 minutes before the top of the hour. We've been talking about a lot of different stuff. We had a great conversation with Peter. I'm just recapping the hour. Started off the show with just sort of advising you about a wonderful restaurant down in Macon, Georgia. The H&H Diner, where you can go and check that out. And I mean, just a wonderful restaurant down there. Just a wonderful restaurant. Anyway, we talked about Bush, the fact that he's going to be turning around the State of the Union speech, and I also posited the question, and I'm hoping that maybe we might get some somebody call in who's interested in talking about this topic, the world can't wait, and what you plan to be doing around the State of the Union address. Now, my good friend Bob Kincaid, who is also known as Bob Kincaid, headonradio.com. Go check it out, headonradio.com. You'll hear his promo after the top of the hour. Is going to be on the air that night. So if you are going to be around and online, you can stream his show and you can rant away with Bob. So, yeah, please do that. And let's see, what else did I want to cover here before we get up to the top of the hour? I'd love for you to give me a call if you can. Give me a call at 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855 is the number. The email address is allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And, you know, there's a number of different topics we'd love to talk to you about. The other thing, just a very quick foreshadowing for after the top of the hour. And I'm actually trying to pull this up as I'm talking. Wanted to talk about the whole Medicare prescription drug program situation. Because I, you know, and we're going to talk about John Kerry, too. Apparently he came out and said something about Alito, and I hate to give him any more press because he's just kind of disappointing, but we're going to talk about him too. It is now 10:57, and we will be back in a few moments after the top of the hour. If you'd like to call, please do so, 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. We're going to be doing radio tonight until about 1 a.m., so join in the conversation. I would love for you to. You are listening to All Things Reconsidered, and my name is Bruce Birch.
Everybody knew that it could happen. The likelihood was clear, the future was coming. Now it's here. They had to fix the levees, because otherwise they'd break. On one side was the city, above it was the lake. It was in the daily papers, in bold letters was the writ. What would happen when the big one hit? But every year they cut the funding, just a little more, so they could give it to the army fight their oil war. National Geographic and the Times Picayune, they forecast the apocalypse, said it was coming soon. Preparations must be made, they said, now is the time. It was years ago, they shouted, Inaction was a crime. They said the dikes must be improved and the wetlands must be saved. But Washington decided instead they should be paved, because malls were more important than people's lives. So put some gold dust in your eyes and hope no storm arrives. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. Years and years of warning, no evacuation plan, it was just if the waters rose. Get out if you can. There were no buses, no one chartered any trains. There was no plan to rescue all of those who would remain. All the people with no money, all the people with no wheels, all of those who didn't hotwire one that they could steal. Thousands and thousands of people abandoned by the state, abandoned by their country, just left to meet their fate. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. And the people died. Then they died some more. They drowned inside their attics. An army of the poor, an army of the destitute who couldn't get away. And the world will remember these sad and awful days, when people shouted from their houses, dying on their roofs. When people came to find them, they were turned back by the troops. They died there with no water, they died there in the heat. They were shot down by the soldiers for trying to find some food to eat. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. Now the city is in ruins, a massive toxic sea scattered through the nation. 500,000 refugees, here we are, in the richest country on the earth, where the color of your skin determines what your life is worth. Where oil is the king, where global warming is ignored, where the very end of life is the place we're heading toward. Where it's more than just a metaphor, the flooding of the dike. Don't stop this madness, the whole planet will be like New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans.
Boys. Well, now I get late over in the evening, I feel like blowing my horn. When I woke up this morning, all I have was gone again. Late over in the evening, man, now I feel like blowing my horn. Well, now woke up this morning, all I have was gone. Brooks went to the ocean, running into the sea. But don't find my baby, somebody gone, sure bury me. Brooks went to the ocean, man, that ocean went to the sea. Well now, don't find my baby, child. Somebody sure gonna bury me. Baby will stop her whole evil will. But it seems like hours and hours seems like days. Well now, seems like my baby child, well child will stop her load our way.
Voice.